1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12 now. But we're not going to get to chapter 12 today. What? We're talking about spiritual gifts in chapter 12. So if you guys want to get to your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going on the recorder. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, just to begin, just so we can get the flavor of what's going on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. So now he's transitioning. The chapter before, he covered a couple big things in chapter 11, one about authority and such, but we finished up talking about the Lord's Supper and the importance of the Lord's Supper. I mean, we detailed that thing, we beat it up, and we understand that they gathered on the first week, and there was issues. They weren't coming for the better, they were coming for the worse. So it just tells you when we walk in these doors already, we need to be ready to go. Otherwise, we came here for the worse. And if we're going to remember and commune with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we better be ready to do so. So it's not just a matter of just this moment, but our whole lives in worship to God need to be, and we be held accountable for those things. And so he gives us from what he received. We talked about it. He received these things from Jesus. Paul says that I received these things from him directly through Revelation, Galatians chapter 1, talks about that. And then he's saying these things, and he's telling these people that Jesus said this. Now I'm telling you, take, eat this body, right? The bread, the fruit of the vine, the cup. And then he goes on to tell us in the manner in which we're supposed to take of it. If it doesn't up your Christian walk after a study through the Lord's Supper, I don't know what will. Because he died for you, and there's a part that we have to do in all of this, and that's obedience to his word and reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first day of the week they gathered, we're asked to gather like we're doing right now. And so, but he talks about this. So now he transitions a little bit, and now he covers a different matter. What was the issue at Corinth in the church? Division, rivalry. And so now what he's doing is he's writing this to let them know about the manner in which we gather together. And when you're gathering and you're together, you know, especially on the Lord's Day, not that every other day is not important, but especially, he talks about this because he takes three chapters to do so. And so spiritual gift was another matter altogether. Now, chapters 12, 13, and 14 are very important to us. There's really no other Bible scriptures that go as far as being in depth as what we see here in 12, 13, and 14. And so it helps us on a few levels. So we have the nature of the spiritual gifts and the unity that should prevail concerning them. So we have these spiritual gifts, and that they were using these, there had to be unity, right? What's God about? He is about unity, not disunity. Anything that causes division and causes something, we better go time out. And this is what he's doing here, because the unity and the things that they had should prevail. Chapter 12. Now, sometimes people say, well, he picks it back up in chapter 14. He doesn't. When we get through chapter 13, you're going to see he's continuing the thought of spiritual gifts. And so chapter 13 then is going to deal that spiritual gifts only are existing temporarily, but while the practice of Christian love lasts what? Permanently. We're going to get to chapter 14. And then now we're going to talk about the order that should prevail in worship while these gifts and all worship is being conducted. Why we're going to do things what? And decency and order. So he's taken time because it was they didn't have the word of God. Man, we take this for granted, the word of God. And they didn't have that. And so they had to, by the means and what they have, and which we're going to talk about, because then some of them had particular gifts they could use in order to deliver a message, to convey a truth, because they weren't sure what to be doing. And well, here's, you know, does God give direction? He does. And so, but we're so blessed because we have the written word, which again, it should compel us to spend as much time in it as we can. Yeah, I was listening to, Ben gave me this thing on Johnny Ramsey. And he was talking about, and I think it's Job 9:33, but just talked about Job didn't have an intercessor. He didn't have an umpire. He didn't have an in-between in Jesus Christ. So Job didn't have what we have today. So we have, what do we have today that Job didn't have? We got Jesus Christ. What else do we have? We got the written word. We got two big ticket items that are so huge, our whole life should be devoted and nothing should stop it. So with that then, before we begin, we need to recognize something. This church at Corinth already had received these miraculous gifts. And so what I want to do then is I want to talk about this a little bit. This goes back a little bit to Brother Bill's wonderful Acts study and also his study on the Holy Spirit. So with that then, if you want to turn to John 14:26, go turn to the book of John. Now I'm going to go to 16 as well, just to make some points here. So we know that after Jesus' crucifixion, he promised the apostles what? He promised he would send them a comforter. He promised he would send them the Spirit of truth. So in John 14:26, it says, "But the comforter," or you might have helper, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you," right? I'm going to send someone because he needed to have that Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost to be able to give the truth of the message. God, again, doesn't deal with wishy-washy, I'm not sure what's going. No, here's direction. The law of Moses epitomized that. And then if you jump down to John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Right. He says he's going to guide you in some truth, all truth. Everything that you need to do to set up your church, to establish my kingdom the way it's supposed to be established, the guidelines, the rules, the precepts, all of it, I'm going to make it so super simple that you're going to have to really try to figure out how to mess this thing up. And so then we begin, and you guys know, go to Acts chapter 2. Again, this might be for some of us basic stuff, but it's a reminder of these things, and we're going to piece this together because, again, we're talking about just how this all came to be, and we're talking about the early church. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, right? So when you go into Acts, I mean, really, as you study in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and all of a sudden you go into Acts, now it's all realized. Everything's realized. And so this is the moment in time that we need to go back to as a church in the world today, and we need to begin and see what they did from this point going forward. But here we go. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so here, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit you have, and what did they had a gift. A gift was given to them. Jesus told them, "Here you go, we're going to give you this. Now it's go time." You know, it's interesting when you look at all the spiritual gifts, this is the one that they thought, if you had tongues, boy, you're all that in a bag of chips. And if you go, as we go through the study, you're going to see it's listed on the further one, because he says, no, they're all important. Everyone's important, and all spiritual gifts important, and don't get all caught up because you can do this thing. So now we see purpose of miraculous guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's two reasons that we have the Holy Spirit doing this. And the first one is to reveal truth. Right? He said that. He's going to come to you and he's going to reveal truth. What was the other reason why you'd have miraculous gifts or the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sense of how they had it and how it was being used? If it was to reveal truth, what was the other reason? Because how would they know it was coming from God unless it was confirmed by what? Miracles and signs, right? What has Satan always used? False teachers. There's false teachers everywhere. And so now they're certifying that the words were spoken by the apostles, you know, for the truth, for the miracles during the New Testament time as things were being revealed. Because we had to be certain about what we were doing. And so then I can go to Hebrews chapter 2, and I can go to verse 4, and I can verify these things. Right? I already know that we talked that he would send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, to give them all truth. So I already know that to be true. So what was the second thing? It is in Hebrews 2, 4. And then I'm going to go to Mark 16, 20. I'll be in Hebrews 2, 4, and I'll go to Mark 16, 20. But Hebrews 2, 4 says, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Both by signs, right? God was testifying with them, signs and wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy, according to what? To his truth. I mean, this is buttoned up super tight. Mark 16, 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed, and they promptly reported all these instructions to Peter and his companions. And after that, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them. He confirmed signs. And they reported these things and the instructions to Peter and his companions. So everyone knew. What does the New Testament in Acts say that when they were going around house to house, what were they following? I mean, they'd say what the apostles were teaching. So just you have to work your way back up. So if it was you're not Jesus. Well, I got to listen to you. You're not God. So there has to be something that I know for sure I can get to. And so by going through the steps, you read through that, and you can see that these people spoke on behalf of God. It's very simple and very straightforward. And we're also going to see they had special things that they had that we don't have today, because we don't need it. You might think you need it, and you probably want it. You probably want a crystal ball, don't you? You want more, you want to have your faith to be better because you can't see God right now. Sometimes you wonder where he's at. I go through all this, brother. I don't think where you think you want something, God says he knows what you need. And so all of us need to be figuring it out. And I say that with compassion, of course. Since the apostle could not be in every city, it was necessary that other believers possess divine guidance. How many apostles were there? How many? Nobody speaking today? Sorry, people on the phone. There's nobody here.
13.
Okay, 13. There's 13 people that are listening. Okay, come on, guys. What are we doing? We rusty? 13 people. How many people lived what was the population at that time in that area? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. I'm just saying more than 13. And you think they live far away? Like, my math's all messed up. I thought Rome and Philippi is 4,000 miles away. I think I was mistaken on that. But if you talk 30, 50, 60 miles, that's a long way. And it's just a lot of footwork. So if that was being the case, do you think there had to be something else going on that they themselves couldn't take the load? Just like even a congregation where you say, okay, Bill's on the phone there. Bill's our evangelist. Get with it, Bill. Get out there. No, it's collective group of people working together, doing this stuff. We're going out together. It wasn't left for anybody. So think about the beauty of the church together and what they did and accomplished. When these were set up in these patterns, it's the Church of Christ that meets in Wasilla ought to be doing the same thing if we're going to go back to the early church and see what they did. Or we can just read about it like a book. Wow, they did that. Well, that's, whoa. And just sit in our houses all day. Just reading about it. I mean, you got to think about, we think about these things, we pray about these, but the bottom line, they needed some. So now we're going to go to the book of Acts. We'll be there for a little bit because, again, we're talking about the establishment of these things so we can piece it together before we get to this letter, but also defute other people who say they got these miraculous gifts or whatever, apostles today. Right? We're going to make this so tight. We're going to know this one, like baptism, we're going to know. Once saved, always saved. Wrong. There's apostles today. I can do miraculous gifts today, and I got the ability to heal today. Wrong. And we're going to see it through Scripture, unless you show me Scripture as I go through this, and maybe I'm in error. You need to show me. So we're going to Acts chapter 8. And so we see the clearest description in verse 5 here, but we see how they received miraculous gifts. So we already know what happened to the apostles, right? We're good. Any questions on that? The apostles were giving something that others weren't giving, correct? And because he told them that he would come to them in that sense. Read it, okay? But now comes along Philip, the preacher Philip. He proclaimed Christ to the Samaritans. He performed miracles. He was casting out demons. He was healing. And he helped the paralyzed and the lame. So now if you go to Acts chapter 8 and 5, now let's read about Philip, so we're going to piece this together. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Right? This is Philip. Right? He spoke hearing these. I mean, this is Philip. Is Philip an apostle? Yes or no? You always put people on the spot. Was he? Was Philip apostle? Yes or no? Okay, what is it? No. I say, raise your hand if you say no. Yes. Okay, it's no. All right, but again, believe me, I was studying the book of Acts. I'm doing with some people right now, and I got to the spot. I was like, was he an apostle? How did? And I was thinking, but see, you gotta. That's why we study. We gotta go back. I don't remember everything, but he's not. I'm just messing with you guys. So okay, so Philip is not an apostle, but what was he? He was one of the seven that did what? He was one of the seven that the apostles did what to? Appointed deacon and. Let's read. Go to Acts 6. Right, we have the neglected Grecian widows, as Ben said. They were appointed deacons here. So Acts, again, we're just going Scripture. We just say what the Scriptures say. You show me what the Scriptures say, and let's just go by that. And so in Acts 6, 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. What's a proselyte? Come on, I'm testing our brains here. Converted. Someone who converted. Okay. Acts 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. What did they do? They laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And so when I read this, I can see what happened here. So now the apostles for the first time had done what? They were given something, and now they gave it to someone else. So what? So now we're spreading out, right? We're networking out. We're going. So Philip preaches, and many of the Samaritans believed and were baptized. And another person was baptized. His name was Simon. Now, I'm going to make this really super. I'm just making it as tight as airtight. I'm going Tupperware on this. That's what I'm doing. I'm going Tupperware. Acts 8:12. Okay. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. So we have Simon, who's now baptized. Does he have what Philip has? He does not. Okay, stay with me. Now 14 through 16, something strange happens. Now, when the apostles, in verse 14, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard this, that Samaria had received the word of God, okay, so the apostles were in Jerusalem. Now, the Samaria is the further away, right? It's like 37 miles. So 37 miles away, they heard this, okay? Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So they were baptized and they were Christians. But in that far distance, what did they not have? They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Did they have the ability to have a Bible and understand what they were to do? Did they have an apostle right next to them and tell them what to do? They did not. And so we continue on there because they hadn't received it. They didn't have the miraculous gifts given. So you have the apostle sent Peter and John to Jerusalem, Acts 8:17. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Right? The apostles laid their hands on the Samaritan Christians. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, in this case, we might think we've misunderstood the point. So if you misunderstood the point, let's go to Acts chapter 8, 18. Okay? Because now we're going to go to Simon. And when Simon saw, in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of hands of the apostle. He didn't have it. He saw what they did. He wanted it. Now he's a baptized Christian. How come he didn't have it? He didn't. He wanted it. Simon messes himself up. You know the story there. Why didn't Philip give him the Spirit? Why didn't Philip lay his hands on him? Because he couldn't. I mean, you see that? Otherwise, Philip, why make a big deal and bar of these guys? It's almost like the elders with the deacons. You guys can do this. Why we got to do that? Because they couldn't. Yep. Yep. So Philip could not give them the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit because he was not an apostle. Even though he could heal, he could cast out demons, he did all these things, but he couldn't do that. So consider and other scriptures that teach this. Acts 19:5. So if I go to Acts 19, who's what's going on there? And before you guys look and see. Acts 19, where's Paul? He's at what area location now? He's in Ephesus right now. He's in Ephesus. How long was Paul in Ephesus for? 3 years? He was there for 3 years. How long was he in Corinth for? 18 months. Acts 19:5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. I can't be any more clearer than this and what this is teaching us. Romans 1:9. I'm going to give you one more. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart from you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. So do you think when Paul wrote that, he was telling them that I want to come to you and impart something, because you think apostle was at Rome at the time that could have done it? Or do you think Paul needed to be able to do it? And so the establishment there, right, because the church has a foundation, and the foundation is set, right? Paul talked about it at the Corinth early on in the letter. He talked about a foundation, and we're going to build upon it. So this church here in Wasilla, we continue on. Just go back to the examples. Anything else is a deviation. You want to be so simple and easy. That's what we say, right? That's what we say. We say we're just going to go to. We need to do that. We go to Scripture, and you can see this build. So Paul earnestly desired to go to Rome. He wanted to impart spiritual gifts. They were Christians already, but evidently probably no apostle yet. He desired to go there. He desired to see them. Only apostles could impart miraculous spiritual gifts. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 2 Timothy. We're going to hit Timothy, and I'll kind of move on after this. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Right, Paul writes to Timothy. Where's Timothy going to go at the time? Ephesus. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, right? So makes a point to Timothy, encourages Timothy that he has a spiritual gift that he received. How did he receive it? Because Paul laid his hands on him. Why didn't Timothy pray for a gift? Why didn't Paul tell the Romans to pray for miraculous gifts? Why didn't Philip tell the Samaritan Christians to pray for a gift of the Holy Spirit to come to them? It's given and clearly in scriptures, only the apostles imparted the spiritual gifts by the laying of hands. So we have a necessary conclusion. What happens when the apostles died? What happened to the miraculous spiritual gifts? They stopped because they were only ones that could do it. When the apostles died, what died with them? Go to 1 Corinthians 13:8. The necessity of miraculous gifts stopped. We'll eventually get to the text when we get to this next section, when we actually start studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want you to know something with Paul, how he observes the observing of this truth here. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. What was the perfect? It's right here in our hands. When it came and we had the full revelation of God, it's perfect. Do you go to your Bible for all the perfection you want to even try to achieve in this life? That's where we go. We got to spend time with there. Are we good? I'm rolling. Nobody's saying anything because you're all quiet today. All right. Some will say that they're apostles today, but that can't be so. They misunderstand Scripture and the definition of an apostle. Now, notice this. There's three definitions here, and we'll finish up in a few minutes. Now, there's three things going on here. Go to Acts 1:20. Acts 1:20. Acts 1:20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office. Therefore, it is necessary that of men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Now remember, this is when Judas did his thing and they're trying to pick another apostle. They had some rules here. And Acts 1:22, beginning with the baptism of John until the day when he had taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they had to see the resurrection of Christ. If you didn't see it, then how are you going to be an apostle? 1 Corinthians 9:1, Paul says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Jesus our Lord? Are you not in my work in the Lord? Right, Paul, in a sense, a special case, but still saw and been with the Lord. Paul said he was the last person to see the risen Lord Jesus. Amazing how other people have said they've seen Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:5. And then he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of the about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The apostle was appointed by the Lord. Galatians 1:1. I'm going to go quicker here to finish up, but the apostle was appointed by the Lord. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ. Acts 1:2. Sorry, guys, I'm just going too much for you, but I want to finish up. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. I mean, how clear can you be in that? After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles, who chose him? Yeah, Jesus. Which we can say God too, right? It's all the same there. In Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go in his own place." And they drew lots for them, and they lot fell on Matthias, and he was added 11 apostles. So you see all that took place. And then the third point here, an apostle was able to authenticate his apostolic appointment with miraculous sign. Last scripture of the day, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Right? So here's another thing of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. The signs of a true apostle were what? Signs and wonders. So, I mean, you're reading this. It is clear as a bell. And yet those people out there are saying they're healing people. We got the coronavirus, go to the hospital, heal. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and people follow that. But I say that as much as we can follow, and we can start going other directions too, and you got to be careful. I just can't say that, just like we're not susceptible to anything like that, false teachings and so on, or things. So we observed today in our study that Christians do not receive miraculous spiritual gifts today because these gifts were given through the laying of the apostles' hands and the apostles died. The Bible records three times in history. I'm going to leave you this. This is pretty cool. The Bible records only three periods of history in which human beings were given the gift of performing miracles. Three periods in our history that they were given the ability to have humans to have miraculous gifts. Which three periods? And go by the people. The first one is what? Think. Did Abraham have that ability? Come on, you guys want to say it. Come on, he's a big ticket guy in the Old Testament. Super big. Moses. Did Moses and Joshua have that ability? They did. Okay. Who's our second group? Two of them. Initials are the same. First two letters of their name, they're the same. They almost sound the same.
Elijah and
Elisha. There you go. Think about the right. So those, go back in your studies. Moses and Joshua, Elisha and Elisha. What's our third one? That's an easy one. That's a layup. What's our third one that had miraculous gifts, the third and last time that we ever used? Were by the apostles, ministries of Jesus and the apostles. Did you realize each of those periods lasted about 70 years and they abruptly stopped just like that? And there you go. So this concludes the class. And what we're going to do then is now we're going to go into chapter 12 and we're going to talk about something they were given so we can see how important these gifts were. They were super important because they were establishing the truth, the church and its truth. So it had to be spot on and right. And if you were given that, were you to butcher it up? Were you to mess it up? I mean, there's a structure in the church today. There's elders. Are they supposed to mess it up? There's evangelists and preachers and teachers. Are they supposed to be messing things up? No, because we're the ones responsible. What's James 3:1 say? What's James 3:1 say about teachers and people who are going to preach the word? We're held to an accountable higher level. And it's got to come from here, and you got to be able to back. And I realize the times that we're going through, but if we ain't backing what we're doing through Scripture, then we're doing what others have done and departed. So I'm going to conclude with this study.